Today is the 20th day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am, of course, Ryan. As I have been all of these 7,000 plus days, as we take this journey through the scriptures together, this, of course, being the 20th revolution around the sun together in a year. So I am grateful to be here with you on this November 20th as we continue our journey forward currently through the book of Ezekiel and the letter of James. The letter of James. Looking forward to getting to that today and getting, as my dad would say, smacked upside the head again. Let's dive into Ezekiel. Today, chapter 40, verse 28 through 41, verse 26. Then the man took me to the south gateway leading into the inner courtyard. He measured it, and it had the same measurements as the other gateways. Its guard alcoves, dividing walls and entry room were the same size as those in the others. It also had windows along its walls and in the entry room. And like the others, the gateway passage was 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. The entry room of the gateways leading into the inner courtyard were 14 feet across and 43.75 feet wide. The entry room to the south gateway faced into the outer courtyard. It had palm tree decorations on its columns, and there were 8 steps leading to its entrance. Then he took me to the east gateway leading to the inner courtyard. He measured it, and it had the same measurements as the other gateways. Its guard alcoves, dividing walls, and entry room were the same size as those of the others, and there were windows along the walls and in the entry room. The gateway passage measured 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. Its entry room faced into the outer courtyard. It had palm tree decorations on its columns, and there were 8 steps leading to its entrance. Then he took me around to the north gateway leading to the inner courtyard. He measured it, and it had the same measurements as the other gateways. The guard alcoves, dividing walls, and entry room of this gateway had the same measurements as in the others and the same window arrangements. The gateway passage measured 87.5 feet long and 43.75 feet wide. Its entry room faced into the outer courtyard, and it had palm tree decorations on the columns. There were 8 steps leading to its entrance. A door led from the entry room of one of the inner gateways into a side room where the meat for sacrifices was washed. On each side of this entry room were 2 tables where the sacrificial animals were slaughtered for the burnt offerings, sin offerings, and guilt offerings. Outside the entry room on each side of the stairs going up to the north entrance were 2 more tables. So there were 8 tables in all, 4 inside and 4 outside, where the sacrifices were cut up and prepared. There were also 4 tables of finished stone for preparation of the burnt offerings, each 31.5 inches square and 21 inches high. On these tables were placed the butchering knives and other implements for slaughtering the sacrificial animals. There were hooks, each 3 inches long, fastened all around the foyer walls. The sacrificial meat was laid on the tables. Inside the inner courtyard were 2 rooms, one beside the north gateway facing south, and the other beside the south gateway facing north. And the man said to me, "The room beside the north inner gate is for the priests who supervise the temple maintenance. The room beside the south inner gate is for the priests in charge of the altar, the descendants of Zadok. For they alone of all the Levites may approach the Lord to minister to him." Then the man measured the inner courtyard, and it was a square, 175 feet wide and 175 feet across. The altar stood in the courtyard in front of the temple. Then he brought me to the entry room of the temple. He measured the walls on either side of the opening to the entry room, and they were 8 3/4 feet thick. The entrance itself was 24 1/2 feet wide, and the walls on each side of the entrance were an additional 5 1/4 feet long. The entry room was 35 feet wide and 21 feet deep. There were 10 steps leading up to it, with a column on each side. After that, the man brought me into the sanctuary of the temple. He measured the walls on either side of its doorway, and they were 10 1/2 feet thick. The doorway was 17 1/2 feet wide, and the walls on each side of it were 8 3/4 feet long. The sanctuary itself was 70 feet long and 35 feet wide. Then he went beyond the sanctuary into the inner room. He measured the walls on either side of its entrance, and they were 3 1/2 feet thick. The entrance was 10 1/2 feet wide, and the walls on each side of the entrance were 12 1/4 feet long. The inner room of the sanctuary was 35 feet long and 35 feet wide. This, he told me, is the most holy place. Then he measured the wall of the temple, and it was 10 1/2 feet thick. There was a row of rooms along the outside wall. Each room was 7 feet wide. These side rooms were built in 3 levels, one above the other, with 30 rooms on each level. The supports for these side rooms rested on exterior ledges on the temple wall. They did not extend into the wall. Each level was wider than the one below it, corresponding to the narrowing of the temple wall as it rose higher. A stairway led up from the bottom level through the middle level to the top level. I saw that the temple was built on a terrace, which provided a foundation for the side rooms. This terrace was 10 1/2 feet high. The outer wall of the temple's side rooms was 8 3/4 feet thick. This left an open area between these side rooms and the row of rooms along the outer wall of the inner courtyard. This open area was 35 feet wide, and it went all the way around the temple. The 2 doors opened from the side rooms into the terrace yard, which was 8 3/4 feet wide. 1 door faced north and the other south. A large building stood on the west facing the temple courtyard. It was 122 and a half feet wide and 157 and a half feet long, and its walls were 8 3/4 feet thick. And the man measured the temple, and it was 175 feet long. The courtyard around the building, including its walls, was an additional 175 feet in length. The inner courtyard to the east of the temple was also 175 feet wide. The building to the west, including its 2 walls, was also 175 feet wide. The sanctuary, the inner room, and the entry room of the temple were all paneled with wood, as were the frames of the recessed windows. The inner walls of the temple were paneled with wood above and below the windows. The space above the door leading into the inner room and its walls inside and out were also paneled. All the walls were decorated with carvings of cherubim, each with 2 faces, and there was a carving of a palm tree between each of the cherubim. 1 face, that of a man, looked toward the palm tree on one side. The other face, that of a young lion, looked toward the palm tree on the other side. The figures were carved all along the inside of the temple, from the floor to the top of the walls, including the outer wall of the sanctuary. There were square columns at the entrance to the sanctuary, and the ones at the entrance of the most holy place were similar. It was an altar made of wood, 5 1/4 feet high and 3 1/2 feet across. Its corners, base, and sides were all made of wood. "This," the man told me, "is the table that stands in the Lord's presence. Both the sanctuary and the most holy place had double doorways, each with 2 swinging doors. The doors leading into the sanctuary were decorated with carved cherubim and palm trees, just as on the walls. And there was a wooden roof at the front of the entry room to the temple. On both sides of the entry room were recessed windows decorated with carved palm trees. The side rooms along the outside wall also had roofs." James 4. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want, because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it, because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him, and he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up in honor. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Psalm 118:19-29. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God shining upon us. Take the sacrifice and bind it with cords on the altar. You are my God and I will praise you. You are my God and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Proverbs 28, 3 through 5. A poor person who oppresses the poor is like a pounding rain that destroys the crops. To reject the law is to praise the wicked. To obey the law is to fight them. Evil people don't understand justice, but those who follow the Lord understand completely. Okay, so I knew we were going to get smacked upside the head today when we got to James, because pretty much every paragraph in the book of James has its way of doing that. And so we start today the very, very simple, very, very complicated question. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Think about that. Not like, I mean, yes, indeed, on a like on a global scale or in a community scale, but like this is also like a personal thing, like in your house, or like even more personal, like in yourself. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? What is the core cause of all of this anxious tension that erupts into conflict? James answers that question rhetorically and cuts through all of the crap to get right to the heart. Don't they come? He says, don't they? From the evil desires at war within you? Oh, man. So we could just kind of, like, that piece of scripture right there is worth meditating on, like, for the day. Because that's like, I don't know, like when I was in high school, we had gym class, being boys. We used to get into these like towel fights, right? Like you get the end of your towel wet and you just, it will like snap. You just like snap it. That's kind of how these words are. They like snap. James goes on and explains that the conflict, whether inside of ourselves, between us and our spouse or our family, or our workplace, or our church community, or this world, arises because we have this sense of not having what we desire, not having what we think we deserve in some way. And so when we perceive that something's lacking inside of us, especially if we perceive that somebody else has what we want, and we can do some crazy stuff to dominate in order to take it away, or to at least diminish it from someone else. And that brings quarrels and fights. Invariably. So when we find a deficit inside of ourselves, that leads to envy, which is a form of hatred. That leads to jealousy, which leads to all kinds of tearing down through gossip and slander. When we find a deficit inside of ourselves, we need the scales to be balanced. And we force our will through words or deeds on others. And that's not going to work. We're going to come up empty, even if we succeed, because we're looking in the wrong place for how to be full. James pulls it together and says, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And we could stop there and go, yes, I do. I absolutely do. I absolutely do. But James says, yeah, but even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. Gosh, that's like another thing to meditate on all day. So this is like pretty direct stuff. This is strong medicine. James isn't trying to heap shame and condemnation. He is working his way down deep inside to the root cause of all of this. And he says, don't you get it? Don't you get it? Don't you realize friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? How will there ever be stability and peace in that? He says, I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. So when we are trying to balance the scales and get an identity by jealousy and envy, by following the way of our culture, then we have gotten things so backward that according to James, we have put ourselves at odds with God. That has plenty of consequence. That is not going to work. So if we were to look at this in terms of putting our faith, like our faith into action, which is so much of what James has been telling us, then we have to admit that ultimately what we're saying here, like if we stop and slow down, ultimately what we're saying here is that God is not enough. And so we need to reach outside the relationship for what we lack, which in any other way would be known as betrayal and adultery. Right? Like try reaching outside your relationship for what you think you lack with your spouse tonight and see if there are quarrels and fights among you. And there will be more than quarrels and fights. There will be brokenness that will never go away. What does James say we, like, what's the right move? James says the right move here is to humble yourself. Humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God. God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty. Your loyalty is divided between God and the world, between God and what you think you need or deserve or are going to take, no matter who or how you reach for it outside of what is right. James says, in the face of that, let there be sadness instead of laughter. Let there be gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up in honor. So, may we invite the Holy Spirit. In fact, Holy Spirit, come guide our hearts today to the places that we are reaching into things or to people that we have no business or right to reach toward, places where our loyalties are divided, because this is the source of conflict within us, we are told. These are the places that we're trying to find identity that only You can ultimately provide. We're trying to be seen when only You can truly see us. Holy Spirit, come. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is home base as well, and that's where you find out what's going on around here. So yesterday, Jill and I came back on, and well, there's like this tradition. We always have an annual Christmas party, and a chronological, it's kind of like an annual Thanksgiving. We're just kind of blending things. This is our 20th year, and so we thought, man, here at Thanksgiving time, it would be really, really wonderful to invite the community, everybody, to call in and share your stories, share your daily audio Bible story. How long have you been listening? Where are you from? What has the daily audio Bible meant? What is your story with the Bible? What is your campfire story as we all sit here together? And so that is what we're doing here for the next week, is inviting you to call in or use the hotline to call in the same way that we do the Christmas party, which we will still do a little bit later. But this is kind of like a little special 20th anniversary kind of edition, a little get together, a little campfire get together where we can share our personal stories around the global campfire. So all you have to do, I mean, it's the prayer lines. So you can call 877-942-4253 and leave your story, or you can hit the hotline button in the app and leave your story. The kind of only catch here, same as always, same as the Christmas party, don't call in a prayer request and your campfire story in the same call. This is one of the rare times where you can, like, if you have a prayer request, then call that in separate, because we need to keep them separate. We don't really have any way to separate them. And so, yeah, for the next week here, we're inviting you to use your voice to share your campfire story of how long you've been around the campfire, how long you've been here, what the Bible in rhythm and in community has meant to your life. What's your story? And we will kind of combine those all together. And what a beautiful thing. Like, and I'm standing here right now and I haven't heard a single one. And I can already feel it in my heart. I can already feel what that's going to be like to listen to those hours. Hearing your voices, some of you, maybe that I've met, that we've met along the way. Many of you that I know you by voice. Hopefully some of you that have been here that I, you know, that we've never heard your voice before, but we're hearing your story as we take this journey together. And so that's what's going on right now here for the next week. So make sure that you make sure that you don't delay and get left out of this really beautiful man. commemoration of what God has done here over the last 20 years. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what we're doing here, bringing God's spoken word read fresh every day and offered to anybody, anytime, anywhere, and building community around just showing up for each other every day. If that has been life-giving to you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, good morning. This is Sarah from St. Louis, and I listened to a woman's prayer request on the morning of 11/12 today, actually. And you were just crying, and I felt your hurt and your pain about your impending divorce. And it's been several years of a hard process. And you said you just wanted to be able to co-parent and have an open and soft heart. And I'm going to believe that for you. I have been in a very similar situation, and it was a struggle, and sometimes I still struggle, but I'm on the other side now, and you will too. So I'm going to write you down in ink in my prayer journal, and I will be lifting you up in prayer. But thank you for this community. I appreciate and listen to all the prayers every day, and I'm always in agreement with everyone.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. I've been anonymous for a good while, but I think I've just been sitting on it, and I believe God gave me the name Determined Disciple, so that's what I'm going to go by. First off, I want to say thank you all for your continual prayers. As we dealt with the government shutdown, praise God that has ended, and it just goes to show that when we press into God, He always shows up. I'm praying for any and everybody who's called in about any concerns, problems, deaths in the family. I'm praying for the young lady who was in Haiti. Thank God that all of her kids were saved. And unfortunately, there were lives lost, but praise God that she made it with all of those kids. And I'm just super blessed and thankful to be in this position. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Jill, for your continued worship, your continued reading of Daily Audio Bible. It has changed my life forever. I'm forever grateful for all of you. I'm just continuing to be thankful and continuing to press into God's word in these troublesome times, and just know that no matter what we go through, no matter what we deal with, no matter what challenges we face, that God is walking right there with us, and He will always be there for us. And thank you, guys. Love you all. This is Determined Disciple signing off.
Hi, this call is for Jacqueline from Montana. I wanted to call in and pray blessings over your life of healing. You said that you've been sick for 3 weeks, and that struck a chord with me because I too have been sick. So I want to pray for you, and I do hope that you get well. May today be the day that healing is over your life if you aren't already well. Because God works out of time, and He can heal you the second I ask, and it be His will. So be blessed and be well in Jesus' name. Have a great day. This is Casey, the single-minded plumber.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Billy from Wetumpka with the Trinity Stone. I wanted to put a prayer request out there for myself, or actually a praise report. I went and got a PSA test ran on myself. PSA is the prostate test that they run. It's a blood test. I went and did it, and I got my numbers back, and it came back undetectable. Or not undetectable, it was 3.69 or something like that. So that's under 4. So that's in the normal range. Actually, normal is zero, but that's in the range of 0 to 4. So that's undetectable, basically, is what it is. So anyway, I just wanted to say I got a good report on my PSA levels, and that is it. I will talk to you guys later. Love y'all. Bye for now.